Well, welcome to Tea Time Spiritual Conversations for, with, and about women. I'm your host, Twana Henderson. And as always, I want to remind you to like this broadcast and to definitely share it with someone in your life. Well, our guest today is someone that I've known sort of from a distance for quite a while, but have not had the opportunity to have the conversation that we're going to have today. Our guest is Minister Tanya Martin. Tanya has served as the Director of Mobilization of Converge International Ministries since June 2020. Before taking on this role, she served as a missionary with Converge in Ukraine for 11 years, a native Jamaican raised in New York City, who later put down roots in the Washington, D.C. area. Tanya has three great loves: a love for our Lord Jesus, a love for missions, and a love for discipleship. These three loves have led Tanya from working in the corporate space to full-time ministry over 15 years ago. She now resides in Orlando, Florida, and continues pursuing those three great loves by helping others, especially the next generation, to find their passion for missions so that they can go to the nations as ministers of the gospel. Tanya, welcome to Tea Time.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here with you today.
Well, I'm so excited to have you and to kind of talk to you. Like I said, I've kind of known you, but I haven't known you. And yeah. I'm really, really excited about having this conversation. So I really just want to just jump right in because there's so much that I want to cover with you. And so I want to really kind of start off with your journey from working in a corporate space to full-time ministry, because that's a huge leap. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I started working for a very large corporation doing government contracting, and it kind of happened by mistake. I was a temp for a little while, and then I really enjoyed the world of business and strategy and contracts. And so I kept moving up on the corporate ladder, and I had a plan for my life. But in planning all those things, I did not include God in the equation. And so I came to the Lord as a child, but then I drifted away from him. And when I realized, even working in that corporate space, making a lot of money, I realized that something was missing from my life. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know at least I need to go back to church. And so when I went back to church, I started looking for a good church home. I found my current church, First Baptist Church in Glen Arden, where God just really spoke to me every time I went there. And he challenged the way I was living and the way I was thinking, my whole worldview. And so I became hungry and thirsty for just knowing God. And as I got to know him and read his word, he changed how I thought about money, how I thought about ministry, how I thought about life, and how I thought about missions. And I was thirsty. I was reading a lot of books, Christian books about how to grow and know your purpose. And one of the books I read was Purpose Driven Life. And once I read that book and read the last few chapters where it talks about you were created for a mission, God was like, yeah, that's you. That should be every believer, but that's specifically you at this moment. So I was like, okay, how do I get involved in this now? And the best way that I could do that, I had vacation time. So I took 2 weeks off every summer and started going on short-term trips to Ukraine. Our church at that time had many, many different trips, but that was the one that was consistent with what I was doing in ministry in the local church already. And as I went, one of the leaders of the trips, she said, like, that first year, when God tells you to do something, you're supposed to keep doing it until he tells you to stop. Mm-hmm. And so this missions is something God has never told me to stop. He's kind of redirected it a couple of times. But it's something that I understand that God is passionate about. Mm-hmm. He wants the world to know him. And I was like, God, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do in order to be an instrument for you mm-hmm. in the work that you've called us to. And then that led me eventually to feeling the call to full-time ministry and being called out of corporate America. And at first I was like, well, maybe that's just to the local church. And so I did that step. Mm-hmm. The step in between corporate America and going to the missions field was working at my local church for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But that was a preparation process, because in corporate America, it's more about the dollars and the profits and less about the people. And so I think God used that transition of going from corporate space to the local church, then to missions, to switch the focus from being about profits and about numbers to being more about what does it mean to stop your job to pray for someone? You know, what does it mean to get interrupted throughout the day for the purpose of ministry? It's more than just getting the job done that you've been assigned to do. It's incorporated into the people that come into the office or the people that come into the church during the day, during the week. That's ministry as well.
You know, what an amazing leap of faith that you took and just the journey that you've been on. How would you say that your call has evolved over time and what significant shifts or realizations have really influenced your journey?
So one of the things that God did for me at the beginning of my journey was that He confirmed it through people, but He also confirmed it through scripture. And the place that He used to confirm it to me is Genesis 12, 1 through 3, where He tells Abraham to get out of his house, to get away from his land, to get out of his father's house, go a place that He'll show him. And then He said, I'll make you a great nation, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I will bless you. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And so I think my ministry and call has taken that journey. First, God said, get out of your father's house and out of the nation that you live in and go to a new place. And I did that and went to Ukraine for those 11 years. But the last 2 years when I was in Ukraine, I felt a wrestling or like something new was coming. So in 2018, I began to seek the Lord for what's new. And then people started asking me questions like, have you ever thought about going back to the United States? And one of the things that I said was, the only reason I would ever go back to the United States is to mobilize new missionaries. But at that time, there was no role for me in Converge or in my local church. And so it was just, that was what the Lord had placed in my spirit. And so God eventually opened up the doors for me to come and be the director of mobilization, serve in that role. And one of the things that happened right before I left Ukraine, I had an interview with the church that I was serving with. And as I was preparing for that interview, God brought my attention to verse 3 of Genesis 12, where He said, and through you, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And I didn't know what that meant. But at that time, He showed me that being mobilizing new missionaries all over the world, that's the fulfillment of that verse in my life.
Wow.
And I never saw how that was applicable that whole time I was in Ukraine. I was like, well, He spoke it, but it might be extra. So sometimes what I see in my life is God speaks everything all at once, but He opens it up into in moments and times. And then He prepares you, because I went from teaching English and doing discipleship for women those first years in Ukraine to then helping to start a youth ministry. And then God said, stop that. And then He kind of brought me up to helping to disciple and to train women leaders all over Ukraine. And then to be a part of a Bible college and create a course and a track, a cohort for women in ministry to go through for 2 years. So that's how He's kind of pivoted the ministry along the way. And it was all preparation for what I'm doing now. So,
you know, not many people just pick up and are obedient to the Lord and just, you know, go overseas and serve, you know, as a missionary. What was that like? I mean, 11 years, that's a long time. I mean, when your life has been one way, you know, an American way, and then you've got this totally different culture, this totally different life. What was that like, that adjustment for you?
So I think the adjustment was actually, you know, it's crazy because as you asked that question, I'm thinking about, because I had written down some responses about what I might say. And I'm thinking about it and I'm like, it's one step after the next step in obedience to God. I had gotten to a place of such like being in love with Jesus, that it was like, if He told me to do something, I was going to do it. I couldn't see in my life how I could not be obedient to Him to the best that I understood what He was telling me to do. And so it wasn't a decision to necessarily, I'm going to go be a missionary. It was like God was leading me step by step. And that was the next step of obedience, saying yes to go into Ukraine. And when I went to Ukraine, honestly, I didn't know how long I was going to be there. I was like, oh, maybe it's one term, which is 4 years, or maybe it's, you know, and then that's it. Because God just told me longer, go to Ukraine for longer than 2 weeks. So I didn't know what that meant. And so even going over, it was, there was an excitement in me, in my life, because I was walking in obedience to God. And so even that first year, I remember going there and being in language school. And yeah, it's hard, because when you don't know a language and you have to live life in that place, you become like a child. So it is humbling, but it was humbling and exciting at the same time, because I was learning and I love to learn. And I was learning the culture and observing it. And I think God gave me a certain level of adrenaline that first year while I was there, to just, everything was exciting. And then when things got harder, because as you live in a space and you learn more of the language and you learn more of the culture and you enter into ministry, that's not language learning, it becomes a little bit more difficult, because then you're starting to deal with people and trying to figure out how do you navigate those relationships in that new culture using a new language that you may not be as fluent as you are in your native language. So it was... it was an interesting adjustment, but I always looked at it as learning. And so I love to learn. And so it was, even though it was hard times, I looked at it as a learning experience.
Yeah, for sure. You know, now I had no idea that you were a native Jamaican. I had no idea when I was reading your bio, and I was like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. Cause I don't hear any accent at all there. But reflecting on your identity as a Jamaican American, how has it shaped your approach to missionary work, and what unique perspectives or experiences have you brought to your interactions with diverse communities?
Yeah, having been born in Jamaica and coming to America when I was 7. Mm-hmm. I am by nature a third culture kid. That's what they call folks like that. So it's people who were born or lived in one culture and then had to move to another culture. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that God set me up from the beginning to be able to adapt quickly. And that's one of the things, you know, one of the things you mentioned is one of the things that I was determined to do as a kid. I remember that I had a Jamaican accent when I came and nobody else in my class did. And so I was like, I'm going to speak with an American accent. And so I don't know, it was just a decision in my mind, and then it just happened. And so I learned at a young age of how to adapt to new cultures. And then growing up, I grew up in a predominantly African-American neighborhood, but then my junior high school was a mixture of 3 different neighborhoods. So there was Latinos and there was Filipino-Americans. And then I went to high school in Manhattan, and it was like the United Nations. And so I think that God from my youth has been preparing me to be able to build deep relationships with people from different cultures, and to be able to understand, to be able to ask the right questions. Yeah. And so I think that really set me up well for cross-cultural work in ministry.
Yeah, I think he's definitely done that and kind of prepared you that way. What strategies have you found effective in fostering genuine connections and understanding, you know, as you've navigated cultural differences?
I think one is to be open and not to judge what people are doing and saying right away, to be that learner. And I think sometimes in relationships, when someone says something or does something, we are quick to judge it based on our values and our understanding of that behavior. Yeah. And in another culture, it could mean something totally different. So to ask questions, ask really good open questions. It's like, when you do that, what does that mean? And that allows the barriers to come down, because then a person is like, even asking that question, it's like, you're genuinely interested in me and learning more about my culture and learning more about who I am. And then also understanding that in cross-cultural work, if you don't make friends, like deep friendships, you won't last on the field, especially as a single person, because I went out as a single woman and was single the whole time I was there. And so having those deep connections is crucial for not only ministry, but for life and being able to thrive on the field. So, yeah. So I think asking good open questions and being willing to listen to the answers and then being willing to adapt who you are a little bit, as long as it's in accordance with the Bible, it doesn't contradict the Bible with how that culture lives.
Yeah.
Being able to make choices on where you live. You know, you can choose to live in the smaller apartment like everyone else in the country, in Ukraine in my case, or you can find the big house that's isolated and you, because you can afford it, right? So it's like I made those choices by observing the culture and making choices like that in accordance with the culture. So that put me on the same level playing field as everyone else. And that helped to foster relationships and trust, to build trust as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, you said a lot in that answer. And in terms of asking questions, I mean, gosh, we all can learn from that. I mean, if we just ask each other questions to get an understanding, that would definitely help. But you also mentioned being a single woman. Talk about that. I mean, the challenges of that, because, you know, a lot of times we don't think about just, you know, all of the dynamics that come with being a single adult. You know, in here you are fulfilling this call of missions, but what have been the struggles as it relates to that? Or have there been struggles as it relates to that?
There have been struggles. I recall a few times in Ukraine where, I still believe that God has called me to marriage. I don't know when that'll be. I don't know for how long. But there were points in time where I felt the desire to be married so strongly that I was like, God, you're not providing anyone for me. And so if this is not your desire, take it away. I don't want it.
Yeah.
And then there was a moment when I thought there was a gentleman that could potentially be a husband. And the people around me were saying, you know, he was Ukrainian. And the people around me are saying, I don't think and these are the close people. I don't think he's a good fit for you. And I was like, well, you just don't want me to be happy. That kind of thing. And so, it turns out they were right. But sometimes when we want something so badly, when I wanted something so badly, I was willing to look past some of those cautions and some of those red flags that other Ukrainians were throwing up, because they know that person better. They know the culture better. They understand all the nuances of the language better. And so I'm thankful that God worked it out that I did not marry that man. But now I'm at a place where it's like, man, the ministry is so time consuming. And I realized that you need a spouse when the ministry that you'd be doing together, when you can't do that ministry and take it to the next level anymore as a single person. And so I'm satisfied right now with the fact that God is using me and my singleness and my ability to travel and to do all the things that I need to do. And it's not that season yet for a mate and someone that I can actually help in ministry. And so that person, wherever he is, God is using him too. And whether he's single or he might be married, you never know how God is going to work it out. Because I mean, people, unfortunately, spouses die and people want to get remarried and so forth. So he might be a widower right now somewhere, but doing ministry, and God is working it out. And I trust him. I trust him so much. I've trusted him with my life so far. Mm-hmm. And he's given me an awesome, kind of unbelievable life, like you read in a book. And I'm grateful for that.
You know, I think that just what you said has just helped, you know, a lot of single adults who may be listening to this podcast, because a lot of times, you know, we don't always understand God's timing and just knowing that, you know, his timing is always right. And so, you know, until he changes the season, that there are things that he needs us to do. There are things that he needs us to complete. And so we have to be open to that and sensitive to that and knowing that his timing is always perfect.
I'll tell him, just wait, don't settle. It's not worth it. I've seen when people settle. Yeah. It's so not worth it.
I think that is excellent advice, for sure, because what God has for you, he has for you at the proper time. And so, that's the beautiful thing about it. I know you've probably have so many stories and experiences, just from your, years of missions work. Can you just share a specific moment, during your service as a missionary that's really deeply impacted your understanding of ministry and faith?
I believe the moment, I don't remember exactly when it happened, or it was just, or if it was like a process of time, but I think that the one thing that has impacted my ministry or my understanding of ministry and faith is the realization that this ministry and the results of it belongs to God. Because before that moment, I was trying and doing everything that I thought God wanted me to do, but I was expecting results based on what I was doing at that moment, like immediate results. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they didn't come. And there was a level of, well, why isn't it happening? Why is there no visible fruit at this moment? Mm-hmm. And God kind of told me, this ministry and any result of it is mine. Mm-hmm. These people, I've been working in their hearts before you got here, and I'll continue to work in their hearts after you leave. Yeah. But you are doing you're planting seeds, or you're watering at this moment. Mm-hmm. But this whole thing belongs to me. And so you just have to trust me. That's where the faith part comes in. You have to trust me that I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And you might not see it, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And so I've taken that back. Even I brought that back here. And when I'm doing things now, it's like I'm meeting with people, I'm talking with them. I don't know what's going to happen as a result of it, but I'm just here in the moment. Like right now I'm in Connecticut. I'm here in the moment. I'm talking with people. I'm meeting. I see God setting up divine appointments. Mm-hmm. Where they're going to lead, I don't know. But I'm leaving. I'm trusting God with that. And so that was a major shift for me. Maybe some people get that a little earlier. I got that while I was on the field in Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, no, I think we all kind of struggle with that. And so I think just knowing that, you know, he's, again, it goes back to his timing and what he's doing, and trusting that, you know, and accepting that. I'm sure there have been just a lot of challenges that you've probably faced as well. And have overcome them as well, I'm sure. What are some valuable lessons that you have learned along the way?
I believe that the biggest challenge that I faced is probably related to that last question, but it's like when you're pouring into someone, when someone has come to you and said, I want you to be a mentor, or I want you to disciple me. And you're investing in them, and you're investing 100%, but they are shut down. They're like closed. They don't want to really hear it. They don't want to do anything that you're suggesting. Even if you try to get them to open up to you, they're just closed. Mm-hmm. Is letting those people go, being honest with them and telling them what you see and letting them go. That's probably the biggest lesson that I've learned. And then being loving them enough to, if they do come back at a time when they're more open to the Lord, you know, open to sharing their life and being honest with you, then take them back if the Lord is telling you to take them back. But I think the biggest lesson that I've learned from that challenge is sometimes you have to be willing to let people go. You're not the right person, or it's not the right time.
Yeah, I think that's a major point, because in letting people go, I think it's acknowledging that we don't have control over what happens. You know, I think a lot of times we want to, you know, we want to get them there. You know, we want to make sure that they, and it's not for us to do. We have to let the Lord do that, and he will do that. And we have to just, and be okay with that, you know?
Yeah. Cause sometimes you see potential in people and you're like, man, you could be like this great minister of the gospel, and they are just happy where they are. And so you just have to let them go and continue in relationship with them. But that mentorship or that helping them, helping to disciple them, you just have to say, you know what, I'm not the right person for you at this time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true. And that can be difficult. But I think, again, that's just a matter of just trusting the Lord in that and just saying, hey, I've done my part. I've done what I was supposed to do at that particular time. How do you measure the impact of your ministry work? How do you measure that? And what indicators do you look for to really ensure that you're making a positive difference in the lives of the communities that you serve?
I believe that you measure impact of your work by whether or not it's being duplicated, especially after you're gone from that space, whether it's that church or that city or that country. It's like, how is, if you have been able to create disciple makers who get it, that they're supposed to replicate themselves in others, you know, through the Holy Spirit and God's work, but that they are supposed to make disciple makers after you. To me, that's the measure of an impact that you've made in a community or in a church. And then through that disciple making, that they're actually seeing the needs in the community and they're meeting the needs in that local community. And I've seen that to a certain extent with some of the ladies that I discipled in Ukraine. Like, they get it. They get the call. They understand, and they understand what God wants them to do in response to the needs that they see around them, especially during this time of war, where there's so many needs, and they're not just sitting on the sidelines. They're all in, and they're actually trying to help other women to grow and become disciples and become disciple makers in that. And some of the women are from eastern parts of Ukraine where the war is going on, and they might go back. So even in that, eventually it'll be duplicated here, but it'll also be duplicated there in those areas that are going to need to be rebuilt after the war.
Yeah. What, if anything, do you miss about being in Ukraine?
I miss the relationships, because my life and ministry were so intertwined with a small group of people. And I don't have that right now where I live. And so I miss that. And interestingly enough, I miss the pedestrian lifestyle. So I walked a lot more just to get places, to go to the grocery store or to the corner store. I can go walk, even though I had a car my last year there, I can walk to the center of town and walk back. And it was about a half an hour down, half an hour back. But usually I wasn't doing it by myself. Or if you're doing it by yourself, you see people along the way on the streets.
Yeah.
And so you just don't bump into people here in America on the streets.
Yeah.
So I miss that.
Yeah. That's got to be really different. What advice would you offer to individuals who are considering missionary work, particularly in terms of preparing for its challenges and its rewards, and maintaining authenticity in their mission endeavors?
Yeah, I think the advice that I would give is to, if you're not involved in your local church right now, get involved in a ministry in your local church, because if you're not doing it here, you won't do it there.
Yeah.
Find really good biblical centered, Christ centered books to read about missions. And find a mentor. Find a mentor, someone who has been on either a lot of short term trips or someone who has been a missionary long term, that can help you to develop some of the character things that you need to develop in order to be successful in missions work. And then if you haven't, go on a short term trip. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks, or like, for instance, Converge, we have a 6 to 10 week internship opportunity that we tell people it's more of a discipleship space, where you go and you walk in alongside experienced global workers. That's what we call our missionaries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're helping you to hear God's voice, to discern his call as far as longer term missions work. You can see what it's like to live as a missionary, because 6 weeks is enough to slow the process down. Whereas when you go on 2 week trips, it tends to be very fast paced and you're doing a lot. Six weeks is going to be less about doing and more about being. So I would recommend doing a short term trip. So those are the first steps that I would tell people to do to get prepared, to understand what's life like on the field.
That's good. If someone wanted to get in contact with you, how would they reach you?
The best way is by email. My email is Tanya, T-A-N-I-A-M, at converge.org. Or they can look me up on social media. I'm out there too, on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
Good.
Well, I know we may have listeners as we wrap up who may be feeling, they may be feeling a distinct pull towards missions work and are really trying to determine if it's for them. Can you pray for them as well as those who may just feel a call to support mission work? I mean, I know what I'm called to. I'm called to support it. There may be people who are called to support it. But can you pray for both of those groups?
Yes. Yes, I sure can. Father God, thank you so much for who you are. You are a God who desires for no one would perish, but everyone would hear about Jesus and would come to the saving knowledge of him. So that's your desire, God. And there are people out there who don't have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I pray for the listeners now, as this podcast has played, as they've listened, I pray that if they are feeling the call to go, Lord, that you would lead their next steps, that you would open up doors of opportunities for them to be able to answer that call. I pray that they would not become discouraged in the process of preparing to go, but that they would just take one step at a time, following faithfully after you. I pray for those who may be called to stay here in America and to send. God, I pray for them that they would also be faithful in that call. Mm-hmm. And for those who are called to pray, I pray that they would be diligent prayers, mm-hmm. and that they would become those intercessors that would pray for strongholds to be broken down in those dark places where the gospel has not yet penetrated. But Lord, I pray for everyone that we would live with open hands before you, mm-hmm. and we would allow you to be the one to determine our call, and you to be the one to tell us whether we should go or whether we should stay or whether we should pray. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Tanya, thank you so much for all that you do and just for your dedication for with the spreading the gospel around the world. It is so needed, and your call is so important and impactful. To all of our listeners, thank you for joining us today. I'm Tawana Henderson. Be blessed of the Lord.